Welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, sip, and talk horror shit. I am Joey. This is Leo.
What's up with you starting these damn podcasts so damn late there, my good sir?
Hey, I offered to record this tomorrow at 7 p.m. and you said no. So,
because, as you know, we are not fiends of an hour or two. And then once marinated, those conversations go out longer than needed.
This is true. This is true. Oh, man. Hold on. So, we are continuing our October 3 thing, whatever you call it. We're doing the second sequel, the third movie in a lot of hardcore franchises. And today we are tackling the original Leatherface movie, Leatherface Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, I mean 3, why did I say 2? Because there's another Leatherface movie out there, came out I think in 2015 or so.
Michael Myers was rebooted enough times. Ooh, Leatherface's sequels are nothing but reboots.
Oh, man. The Leatherface movies and Texas Chainsaw series, it's one of the worst ones to kind of try to put into a storyline. Because they go all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the only one, the first two originals are a sequel. And then everything after that, it's pretty much shit. I think the only one that even had a close thing to a sequel was the remake, the Michael Bay one. But that wasn't even a sequel, it was a prequel.
Wait, are you talking about Texas Chainsaw 3D?
I'm not even counting. That's even a standalone on its own.
But that's technically a sequel, though it makes no sense, but...
Sequel to what?
The first movie.
What story does that follow?
The first movie.
What first movie? Oh, are you telling me that's their Halloween version of the reboot?
Because everything that Halloween does, Texas Chainsaw did it first.
All right. You know what? We gotta go easy on Michael Myers from now on. We just have to.
But anyway, as we always do on this program, we like to sip a little bit. So, Mr. Leo, what are you sipping on today?
All right. I got some Southern Star Oktoberfest. I didn't go to the correct HEB this time. So, can you believe this is the only fucking... They had other Oktoberfest, but I don't know. None of them just seem appealing. And I've had them. It's the first one that I had that was I didn't have this one. I'll try this one. Yeah. Time to put it on the untap. Do I like it? It literally just stands as a... It's okay.
Okay.
It doesn't really have that pumpkin meat taste to it.
Okay. As for me, I'm going to get something that I think is really good. I'm trying to grab it while I'm filming and recording, so it's a bit tough. Let me put this down right quick. I'm actually, just so I can open it up and all that jazz, I am sipping on a good old King Cobra, the 40.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy.
You know, you love them Cobras in the 40s.
Dude, I swear the only 40 I can drink is a Mickey's. Bro, I'm like not kidding. I've had a Colt 45. I had a Schlitz.
Yeah.
I had Steel Reserve.
Man, those are tall finish.
Yeah, especially let that bitch get a little warm. It's really the Mickey's is the only one that's ever really caught my attention. Or like, I've had just the urge to be like, no, let me go get me a Mickey's. That's like the only one.
I could see that, you know. Mickey's does have a distinct taste to it, which is always good. But yeah, it's we've gone to this film, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, Leatherface. Before we go into that, I just want to mention, go Astros. Astros are killing it so far. You know, baseball playoffs basically just started this past week, so excited to see that. I mean, we got the White Sox, and I think we won this one pretty much.
I think we're going to lose the next one.
We might lose one game.
But well, I mean, yeah, that's the one.
We got the series. But yeah, I'm definitely excited for this this playoff round. But anyway, so we're talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, directed by Jeff Burr. He also did Puppet Master 4 and 5, and a handful of like other kind of, I guess you say, indie horror movies and like such. He's good at what he does.
Sequels?
I guess you say sequels, yeah.
Well, I mean, he did take over. The reason he got the job for this one was because he took over because after he did The Stepfather 2.
I know that.
Yeah. Originally, I don't know what was up in the early 90s. I don't know if it was The Dead Alive or Peter Jackson's things that he used to do before. But yeah, they were actually trying to get Peter Jackson to do it, but with the success that he had with Stepfather 4, they went with Burr. Also, let's say that they were trying to also give the directorial duties over to Tom Savini. But if you ask me, that's a little loosely based, because every time I read any movie being made in the 90s, Tom Savini is like, it was, everyone always says that he's the one that they wanted to direct that movie.
Yeah. Like I've heard that for many films too. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to flat out say it. I'm not a really big fan of this movie.
Well, okay. So like, I'm going to say it right now. I do like this movie over the second one. We did do the second movie, so check that out. We had an interview with the writer. But no, we didn't get the writer of that one, but that was Funhouse. My bad. Never mind. But I do like the third one over the second film, because I thought the second film kind of went in a weird direction. And I think this film kind of brought it back to more of a horror type, you know, story. Now, in saying that, when I watched it tonight, I felt a bit meh about it. Just kind of like, eh. Like, it's good, but like, eh.
Maybe it's been the fact that we've been watching all these different movies all year.
Maybe so. Because I think that besides besides like the actual family, the main characters, the couple, they're a bit boring. I didn't care about them like at all.
I just know that the guy was the guy. He's been killed by he's been killed by all the main killers but Michael.
Oh really? Did I know that?
Yeah. What's his name? Some Butler?
I don't know, like the actor's name. I don't know.
Yeah, but was he killed on the? I think he was killed by Jason in the fifth one. He was killed by Freddy in the fourth or fifth one as well. He was killed by Leatherface.
Wait, did he play Spencer in Freddy's Dead, or was he in the? Oh wait, was he the comic book guy in the fifth Nightmare movie?
I think so. I think that was him. It's very vaguely. I vaguely remember the characters. So let me see here, because I was watching why am I getting tongue-tied? I was watching the special features, and he said it. Literally, it was his words. It's like, oh, I was in this Friday movie. I was in that Nightmare movie, and I was in this movie, and I've been killed by all three except Michael. I've been killed by all the tops except Michael. I was all like,
that's actually like pretty good.
So, you have your Scream Queens. Well, this guy was screaming a lot too, so yeah, we could call him a Scream Queen.
Right.
Yeah, but not to ruin like the movie itself, it does have some ups and downs, but I actually find the production of this movie more interesting than the actual movie.
So I don't know like too much of the production story. So
you wanna hear it?
Oh yeah. Lay it on.
All right, so as we know, this is the first and only of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies that was not filmed in Texas. It was filmed in California due to the fact that they had already built two of the sets for the movie. Problem being is they had pretty much the sets for one third of the movie, but not the other two thirds that they had yet to build, causing a lot of issues with the filming.
Yeah.
What was it? New Line Cinema? Even Jeff Burr actually admits that they didn't like him. Like, it's even like the cast was like, they thought he was a great director. They thought he had a good vision and everything. But New Line just were throwing up all these walls and throwing up all this, oh, we need to see your time. How much time are you going to spend on this? We don't want to go over. New Line's like, we're not going to go over the budget. And they just gave him a bunch of shit. They actually fired him.
Oh, really? That's a bit strange, because like at this time, it feels New Line was still kind of trying to be that independent company, that they were just pushing any idea that anyone had. So that's interesting.
The problem is, they had the whole concept that they were making franchises. They had the Ninja Turtles turning into a franchise. They had Freddy, and they had just acquired Jason. Okay. They were looking for the next franchise. They were looking for the next. And as you mentioned, New Line also had the idea, we want Texas Chainsaw, because they acquired the rights to Texas Chainsaw. We're like, we want to go back to horror. We don't want the dark comedy Toby Hooper gave everybody for the sequel.
Yeah.
And of course, we know Toby Hooper did the sequel like that. Well, I don't know if it was a sick joke on his part or what it was, because when Cannon gave him the money to do some of the movies, they're like, yeah, we give you the money to make three movies, but out of those three movies, one of those better be the Texas sequel.
Yeah.
So, but everybody knows that, or should know that by now. Did we even mention it on the last podcast?
I think we might have. I think because like we did like mention a lot about like the making of Texas Chainsaw 2. We did talk a lot about that.
So you know that the badass trailer this movie has. I mean, it actually has a pretty convincing trailer, kind of Dungeons and Dragons style with the chainsaw coming out the water and Leatherface grabbing it.
I've actually never seen the trailer to this movie. This, just like part two, I bought the DVD without seeing a trailer or like anything. I was like, hey, you know, it's a Texas Chainsaw movie. I'm just going to buy it. So I've never seen a trailer to it.
All right. Two little fun facts about this trailer. One, they made the trailer, they filmed the trailer in June before even, they hadn't even started production on the movie. They hadn't even picked a director. They hadn't done anything like that. And guess who was Leatherface in the commercial, in the trailer?
I want to say Gunnar Hansen.
No, Kane. It was Kane. Kane Hodder. Yeah, and actually, he's also a stunt coordinator on this film.
I saw that, yeah.
And was actually one of the stunt doubles for, I can't pronounce his last name, because Leatherface is played by a dude named R.A. Milioff.
Yeah, something like that. That's why, like, Kane Hodder always states that he's played, like, all, like, the top, you know, slashers out there. I know, like, he did one of the Freddy films. He was, like, he was Super Freddy, or, like, Super Freddy's, like, stunt double or something like that. So.
So, yeah. So, going back to the whole Burr being fired, New Line tried to look for another director and didn't even spend much time looking for it because 2 days later he got the call, you're rehired. What kind of bullshit is that, man? Like, that is legit. In my opinion, would you take in the job back, yes or no?
I mean,
they're treating you like shit. What everything you want to do, they're going against it, and then they just—it's like they can get—they want to get rid of you, but it's...
I would probably like deny it because, like, at this time, Jeff Burr has already done like a handful of movies prior to this, so he definitely has like some like weight to kind of say, hey, no, I'm not gonna like join back into this, but. It is a Leatherface film, so.
Well, the thing is, by the time when Leatherface was made, this was his third film.
It was just the third one. Because I thought it, like had a few more, for me, like, about 10 more. But, yeah, I would have taken it then.
Because before this, he had done, it like, an anthology-style film, and it also had Vincent Price. And then he did The Stepfather, too. That got him the job.
I would have taken it, you know, if like fired me, and then
brought him back up. But Bird did try to get Gunner. He did try, but apparently they could never get to a whole agreement with the price, you know. By this time, Gunner wasn't doing it for cheap either, so.
I heard that too. That he was not cheap if he was going to do Leatherface again, because he was in Texas Chainsaw 3D, but he wasn't Leatherface. But he was like one of his cousins.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the sets, the areas. We know this movie takes place like in the foresty area.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought the look and the sits, in my opinion, they look pretty good. I like the forest, I like the house, I like the open road they had?
Pretty much the only two places they built, because the forest had just caught fire. There was a forest fire in Venice where they filmed all that forest area. So that's why the film actually looks kind of dark in those scenes, because they weren't lighting the parts that were burnt. And it kind of makes sense. So they literally used a lot of movie magic to make this movie possible.
That's why, like, also one of my only, I guess, small issues with the direction or, like, cinematography is that it does sometimes look a bit too dark at times. So I guess that's why.
It's understandable if your set's on fire or caught fire when it's really a natural thing. You know, it's not like the forest was a built area like some movies. So, and they also mentioned that it was also like some of the day shots were done near Magic Mountain.
I heard that before, yeah.
So you can kind of hear people, like in old, like the old VHS tapes and everything, you can hear people screaming from the roller coasters that made it onto the audio. Now I'm actually curious to like find this, you know, audio just so I can peep it out. Now,
sure, like, has it uploaded on like the YouTube?
Now, speaking of which, this movie was filmed, of course, a lot of it's done at night. So, in the 30 days the movie was filmed, 30 days, by the way. I don't know what the fuck New Line Cinema was tripping balls about. We've seen one movie that has only a one-night thing fucking last about 2-3 months of production. So what they would do is they would film the movie, like they would rehearse during the day so they could be aware of their surroundings. And then just when nighttime hit, it was nonstop. Let's go. Like straight through, like through the night, just recording all night. Okay, be in the desert in the morning and then fucking go stay up all night fucking recording moving. Yeah, I this is what I'm saying. Like, to me, I'm more fascinated with the making of this film than I was with the actual film itself.
Yeah, I guess, again, like, I didn't realize that there was so much, you know, story behind the production.
Yeah.
But I knew, because, like, well, the second one also has a lot of, like, story behind it, too. It would be kind of interesting that two Texas Chainsaw movies have these weird, tough stories behind them.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Burr wanted to do, wanted to film it in 16 millimeter just like the first one was. You think that would have rolled pretty okay in 1990 or 89?
I honestly don't think so. It's a good idea, you know? It's like now whenever people have that idea, let's shoot in like whatever, a 16. That's a good idea, but I don't think it works when it comes to the actual release, you know?
Maybe, I mean, I guess it worked because it was a product of its time.
Well, yeah, like,
if you're going to do it like that, then you might as well make it look like you're still in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, it's, I feel like, whatever, like, is kind of like, I don't know, whatever comes to, like, cinema, whatever's, like, current, go with it. Because I feel if you're trying to make something look old, it's going to look forced. And I don't like the forcedness of some things, you know. It's like you're trying to do something, you know. It's like, I'm trying to do this, you know.
Honestly, the only ones who've been able to capture that right for me have been the VHS tapes, like those movies, the VHS movies.
Oh, speaking of that, I didn't realize, but yeah, there's a new one coming out.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
I didn't realize.
I'm getting a piece of that action.
Because I like the first, like, three VHS movies. Well, the first two.
So, yeah, going towards the end of production. Apparently, a lot of the script they thought was too gory, so they toned it down. They've lost so much footage of this film that it was completely lost. They can't even find. The footage is gone.
I heard that, yeah. I heard that too, yeah.
Due to the fact that they had to literally submit this movie 11 times to the MPAA. To get a proper rating.
Yeah.
And what sucks the most is they were like, what was it? Oh, don't go past this certain amount of time. Don't go past the budget. Don't do this. We need to, we promised the crowd we will release this movie November 3rd, 1989. And what ended up being the most time consuming was the editing to cut the violence down, and the movie was not released till January 12th, 1990.
I mean, yeah, that was like that was a big thing with a lot of big name horror movies in they're like the late 80s and like early 90s is that they had to like submit their films so many times because like the MP would just kind of rape them and kind of say, you know, this movie is like offensive and this movie is like going to be rated X for this reason.
Shit, by today. Like, okay, I'll say by 2005 to 2009 standards, that movie's like a rated G movie.
Oh, yeah. Because like me and Leo kind of touched on this earlier that the DVD version came out of this movie and there's an unrated version and there's a rated R version and the rated R version is not too much different than the unrated version of this movie.
And this is the shortest chainsaw movie, right? It's like even the unrated version was an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, like it's not long at all. But it's so, like it's minor things that they took out, which one scene was like one of my favorite scenes that they had to edit out of the original cut, was when Alfredo was like tossing the heads. That apparently is not in the rated R version of the movie.
Oh, okay. And then, what's his name? Benny comes up behind.
Yeah. Because, like, in the rated R version, they take out the head scene, but, yeah, they go to Benny. Yeah.
Confronting him. All right. Let's play a little game, Joey.
All right.
Let's play a game.
We have not talked about this movie. Well, oh.
We are talking about the movie. We are talking about the movie. Hey, we're talking facts about the movie. All right.
This is true.
Because right. Well, how much do you have to say about this movie? Let's be honest. This is short.
This is the
characters are boring.
Yeah, this is definitely not like Dream Warriors type conversation where I can talk about days about that movie. Yeah. Yeah, like during this time watching it, like I vaguely mentioned, I realized, yeah, there's not much to say about this movie. It's kind of meh.
Yeah, thank you.
Fun. So, but
kind of meh. I have to throw in all these facts in order to do some time kill here.
Yeah.
At least we're talking about the movie.
Yep. At that time. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, playing a game. Right.
The game is, when it premiered that weekend, what did it rank? What was the ranking of the film?
Man. At this time, horror movies were like at kind of a low. So I'll go with number 5.
Keep going. 4.
7.
Keep going.
10.
One more.
11. Oh, wow. It was the 11th.
It was the 11th. Wow. Peeped. I'll list the movies that were ahead of it, so we can see the competition that it went up against in the box office that weekend. At number one, I'm just gonna go down the line from 1-2 down.
All right.
Okay. Born of 4th of July. That was the number one movie that week.
This is fair.
The War of the Roses.
That's a fun movie.
Tango and Cash.
That's a fun movie too.
That one's a fun movie. I give it. Internal Affairs.
Never seen that one, so.
I've heard a lot about it though.
Yeah.
This one I've never even seen or heard. It's Always. When I think of Always, I just think of that Saliva song.
Always. Always.
Yes. At number 6, The Little Mermaid.
That was number 6? Well,
at that. Oh, we're talking about just the weekend in general. That movie had came out before that. But the fact is, it's still number 6. Steel Magnolias.
Oh, classic.
Glory. Every mom. I actually like that
movie.
Huh?
That's like every mom's favorite movie.
Not my mom. She was watching the Buddy Holly movie.
Okay. That's a good one,
too. Glory was next.
All right. Glory's a good movie.
Yeah. Matthew Broderick. Denzel. Yeah. It's the only Denzel movie I like, I think. Oh, and remember the title. Only two Denzel movies I like.
Same here. Actually, same here.
All right, at number 9, Back to the Future 2. That movie had already been in theaters for a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So, at number 10, Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, jeez.
And, of course, number 11, our main topic of the night. But it did beat two movies, barely, which were Look Who's Talking.
Well, like, it's already been out, so.
And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation, okay. Again, that's my favorite. That's, like, maybe my favorite Christmas movie, but... Yeah. Well, I mean, I also say that Texas Chainsaw 3 is a good example of a good 90s horror movie. Because, like, prior to, like, Scream, there's not too many great examples out there.
What are you talking about? New Nightmare?
New Nightmare, yeah. I'm saying, like there's not too many great examples of it. And we have another one coming up. you know.
I can play it on the bass right now if you want.
What's that?
I can play the Motorhead version on the bass right now if you want.
But you know, so yeah. Leatherface. Oh.
One side fact. Last one I'll say. The one good thing about this movie that came from the set, it's the same house Alice Cooper used for the video House of Fire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Random ass fact thrown in there. That's my Hail Mary of the night. Thank you.
That's pretty good. So, as we sometimes do on this show, talk about the killer's look. How do you feel about how Leatherface's look is in this movie? How his mask was and all that jazz? I thought his mask was kind of, I didn't like the look of the mask in this movie.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where they tried a little too hard to modernize it. Yeah. Honestly, I swear to God, like, I was more looking at the teeth than the mask. Like, it was something like, yeah, when they showed his face, like, you know how you zoom in on her face and you breathe in the mask? I was just looking at them teeth. But it was also mentioned that the film was supposed to have a Leatherface face reveal. So that's why they were trying to hint that he was going to be disfigured. Yeah. But New Line went with the negative. We're not doing that. So I feel like if that idea probably wasn't there about the unmasking of Junior, first time they call him Junior, by the way.
Yeah, which I was like mentioned also, like the fact that this is the first time they gave him the
name. Wasn't he Bubba on the second one?
Oh yeah, that's right. The second one, Bubba.
So
again, which we mentioned again, Texas Chainsaw has the craziest storyline ever. Seems like Leatherface has different names every movie. Like,
man,
next generation, I think he has a different name also.
They should just call him Garth.
That was what?
What's the most Texan name you can come up with?
Earl?
Earl? Damn, boy. I reckon Earl is a damn redneck name sometimes.
But I did love his like saw his family chainsaw. I mean, that's probably the most known thing about this movie. Saw his family. So it was cool.
Are we talking about that Pimp My Ride chainsaw he had?
Yep.
That's a pimped out. That's like a Cadillac chainsaw, yo. But like had a little chrome, gold chrome on it and shit. Yep. Man, I wonder who used to do that. A Pimp My Ride. Was it a T-Pain?
Exhibit,
man. Exhibit got a piece of that action. I promise you. He had to. You know what? You fucking remake Texas Chainsaw again. You gotta have a pimped out chainsaw. I will not accept another Texas Chainsaw movie without a pimped out chainsaw. I mean, they pimped out Chucky's knife one time. It was not pimped out. They made it look cool. Because yeah. Chucky sometimes had like that one cool thing that looked like a wavy dagger or whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like Chucky had his own like knife. It wasn't just like the kitchen. He had like a knife at some point.
Yeah, it was like a voodoo knife or something like that.
Yeah, and like to me, that match is like when I bring it up, and the people are like, "Oh, like, what are you talking about?" It was just a typical. No, it wasn't just a fucking typical kitchen.
Yeah, look at food tonight. You know,
so
October 12th, listeners, I'm sure this is going to come out afterwards, but the Chucky series premieres on USA and Sci-Fi. Can I watch it? I don't know yet, but because I don't have cable, but if it's on like Hulu, then I will.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what I'm probably gonna watch it. I might do a small.
I'm hyped for it. It's like I love the cast, you know. Jim Fertilli's back, Alex Vincent is like back. What's her face? Christina, forget her last name. Girl that plays Kyle in the second movie's back. And Don Mancini is doing the whole directing and writing, so I'm hyped for it.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing like a mini review video for it.
That'd be cool.
Probably like throw it on the YouTube.
That'd be cool.
If you're watching it, you're like, give it a couple thoughts.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be available online for streaming right away, so I don't know if I can watch it like right away because I don't have cable.
True.
Anyway, back to Texas Chainsaw 3. We have not mentioned this really, but the overall story to this movie is you basically have this like couple that are driving through quote unquote Texas. Kind of like your typical kind of like deserted couple story. They like stop.
Oh, the Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, like kind of like that type of thing. They have to stop by a gas station. They meet. What's the name? There was a famous guy in this movie, which I don't know him really.
But he ended up in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He was the king in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Hugo, what's his name?
Not Hugo Weaver. That's the guy from V for Vendetta. And he was also the agent from The Matrix. No, the one you're talking about, he was the guy who played the king in the Lord of the Rings films. No, but he was Tex. That's what he was.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, the actor's name. But I know, like, he's like, super famous, though. But I don't know. Well, because, like, I mean, confession, listeners, I've seen Lord of the Rings, I've seen, like, the entire series, but I'll be honest, I don't care for them at all.
All right, Viggo Mortensen.
There it is. Viggo.
How the fuck you pronounce that last name? That's all I got to say.
I know you said it wrong, but
yeah, it's Mortensen.
Yeah, because I think he's like won a Oscar too, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the boy is like super popular in movies I've never seen.
Apparently, because I haven't seen any one of these either. He's in some movie called Captain Fantastic, Eastern Promises, Falling, The Green Book, Far From Men, Man, you sure this dude's famous? I haven't heard none of these fucking films.
He's like really famous. Viggo Mortensen.
If you say so. Well, he's Aragorn. End of story. For the rest of the film, you'll be known as Aragorn.
I don't know who that is.
That's the king of the North of Rings.
That game, like,
he's the one who walks. He's the one who walks with the elves or the. Oh shit! If any Lord of the Ring fans, please don't fuck kill us. He's the one who walks with the hobbits.
Like I said, Lord of the Ring. I'm not a Rings fan.
You're not a nerd.
I'm a nerd.
I'm a nerd.
He is a nerd. I'm a nerd.
I'll admit it. At least I don't watch teenage dramas.
All right. So, well, I want to say something. So, like, basically, yeah.
Oh, by the way, that one dude, William Butler, he was in 1989's Freddy's Nightmare TV show.
Didn't know.
I'm telling you. And then he was also on Friday the 13th. Part 7, The New Blood.
Oh, okay.
And he was also in Gingerbread Man, apparently.
Gingerbread Man?
Gingerbread Man 3.
Oh, really? Man, yeah. I gotta, like, appreciate this guy more. Huh. I didn't realize. Pretty good.
Huh? He was on an episode of Power Rangers? He was Dr. Michaels on Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, jeez. Man.
Joey, you slipping, bro. You slipping. He was Tom on Night of the Living Dead, the remake.
Jeez, man. This guy is like...
He was in Ghoulies too.
Jeez, man. How do I not know this guy, then? He's the type of guy that whenever we go back to interviewing people, I want to ask him, like, hey, man, let's interview you. He has quite the background of things.
Yes, sir. Yes, he does. As we were.
Yeah, so as I was saying, this couple, they start to have typical, I guess you kind of say carb trouble, whatever.
Well, I actually have something to say about the text guy.
Okay. Let me text.
You know, he didn't get the part at first?
I did not know that.
He auditioned for it and butchered the, he bombed the audition. Even like the director was like, it was horrible. It's god awful. It was like one of the worst bombs ever. And then they hired the guy who was supposed to play Tex, and he was so bad at it, they ended up calling the guy back to come do the part.
Pretty good. Because like Tex does the Tex is kind of like the, how would you say, like the kind of the character that you think is,
he's the bait.
Yeah, like the bait character. Like basically you're thinking, okay, this guy's kind of cool, you know, but there's something fishy like about him. But he's still with the family.
Which said later, which all the Chainsaw movies have that habit. They follow that pattern. Like
Yeah, it's a very formulaic type thing with this movie and like pretty much all of the Chainsaw movies except for like part two.
But, yeah, that's like what we call the bastard child nowadays. But honestly, this one to me felt like it was the more it's the most help me, Joey, help me. Cliche, I mean, of all the films. Because it has the cliche of like the cliche of the road trips movies. The road trip movies. The
fourth one was like the most cliche of them all.
The fourth one?
Yeah.
Oh, let's don't get me started with the fourth one, right?
And like that's the only thing.
The only thing I gotta say about the fourth one is Matthew McConaughey should have got an Oscar for that one.
He really should have.
Mm-hmm. I'm very exaggerated about that, but I can't believe you actually agree with me. No, but I really think that, I mean, to me, when I saw the very beginning of the film, and he's like, Junior's torturing, Leatherface is torturing somebody, and he slams the door, kind of reminded me of the original one. It almost seemed like he tried slamming the door. And I'll tell you this, the very, very first time I ever watched this movie, I was like, oh my God, please don't tell me he's going to fucking do that dance over and over again. Thank God he does not. Did you notice, like, Chainsaw 2, where he always does this?
Yeah.
It's like every scene he's in, he would always raise the chainsaw over his head and start doing the ending one, which is, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
But this one, and then you go from there, and then you go into the Hills Have Eyes cliche. That's like the first thing I thought about. That's like what comes to mind 100%. It's just like a scene ripped straight out of the Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
So you got your pervy gas store owner. The guy tells you, and this is even something that I probably to this day will follow. Like, hey. Follow this road and it'll cut you some time. Fuck you. Fuck you in the couch you were born in. I ain't taking that. Fuck. Okay. That's what it always seems to happen. Somebody's always going to be like, oh, I'm here to help you. Take that long, dark road. Blah, 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 blah. Hell, are you out of your fucking mind? No. And then, I mean, what could throw people off was the fact that there was a shotgun being pulled. You know, trying to make it look like Tex was done for the movie. But I really enjoyed the fact, well, let me start off with saying something about the two main characters. And this is what bothered me the most. Apparently their boyfriend and girlfriend, they seem more like brother and sister.
Yeah, I will agree with that too, because they're not a strong couple. Yeah.
That or they're not.
Yeah, they are more either like best friends or like, you know, sister and like brother. Because you don't feel that attachment to these characters as like whatever, quote unquote, lovers. As like a couple, you know.
To me, what they more seem like, they seem more like a couple. They're just probably taking this road trip and they're about to go get a divorce. Anything close to that, or literally a brother or sister. Like, yeah. you don't really, through this movie, you don't see any like genuine affection between them. It's almost like if the actors hate each other. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, because like, again, like, I don't know if it's based on the actors just not having that chemistry, because yeah, they had no chemistry, in my opinion. And
or maybe
earlier that, you know, these characters you just don't care about because this reason. Yeah.
So that's actually one of my biggest bothers with the film. And these are two main characters and they're supposed to be the couple. It doesn't work. I think if they wanted to work on something, it should have been that script, and I probably would have just reshot the fucking scene. As if I would have been a director, I would have just probably reshot and been like, hey, these two don't even look like they're a fucking couple. Like, and it's already too late to fucking hire somebody new. You know what? We could just change a couple words here and there. They're going to get a divorce. Let's leave it at that. Fuck the whole concept about taking the dad's car or whatever. They might be taking a trip to tell somebody they're getting a divorce and they're going in separate ways. End the story, because they just don't seem like a couple. Or I would have just gone with the brother-sister approach. End of story. I would never even say they're a couple.
Yeah. And like, even like when I forgot the characters' names, but like when the girl sees her like boyfriend killed,
Brian.
Yeah, she's still not even that. She's not. I don't know, she's not given the affection that you would think a girlfriend that really loves someone would get upset about. She was like, oh no, you guys killed him.
You bastards.
Yeah. It's like, it seemed like he barely cared. It's like,
So, with that being said, I think that was either poor casting or poor writing.
I don't like poor casting. I think it's more casting.
Because I'm at this point, I think even Ed Wood would have came up with better. Oh, don't get me started with Ed Wood. Wow, we will fucking do it with one of his movies soon. Believe me, Orgy of the Dead.
That's one of his best movies.
Oh, of course. It's a joy movie. Titties left and right. Up and down.
That's all it is. It's just titties. Classic movie.
So
yeah.
I'll say it at the end, because I think the only thing I felt bad about dying in this movie was the first thing that died in this movie. I can say it now, too. The armadillo.
No.
That was the only thing in this movie I felt bad for, or the only thing that made me slightly cringe, because I'm like, no, don't kill it. It was the fucking armadillo. Every other human in this movie was just useless.
I was a bit skeptical about that armadillo kill. Was that an actual armadillo that they killed? Because, like, it was flippering. You know, quite a bit. Because I know, going back to Hills Have Eyes, there's a dead dog in that movie, so. It's different times, yeah.
Boy, Wes Craven. Going past the limit. Shooting the shit. He did not give a good directing for the Swamp Thing. That, to me, it's a scar. A scar that can never be healed. I love Wes Craven, but damn Craven. That's one thing.
He's not a big fan of that movie, as he said, well, before he passed away. But, so, let's talk about the family. We have not mentioned much of the family in this movie yet.
No, we can't talk about the family without talking about the Leathermobile.
Yeah, Leathermobile. I guess what you call it.
I mean, it had an introduction almost like the Batmobile.
That is true.
Like this.
I thought the second movie also like introduced a
kind of a vehicle that was like, hey, this is like the vehicle to like
notice. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but like this one was more like they opened the garage door, the fucking they're like, it's all in your face with the fucking car. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I felt like this was like this was like whenever they introduced like the superhero's car or something. Like like even in Batman and Robin when they got the new Batmobile or the new wing, the new jet in the boat, it's like give it the ankle look. You know? Other than that was pretty much the only thing I had to say about that. I just wanted to bring up the fucking car how you got introduced. Oh man, usually this is like a lot hotter.
So like the family in like this movie, because like each movie they always introduce like a different family. From what I know, I guess these are cousins of the original Sawyer family. You have a grandmother, like a mother character who's in a wheelchair. You have a young kid, a daughter character who's like maybe like 8 or 9. You have Alfredo, who's like my favorite character in it.
Oh, the fake chop top.
Yeah. You have
whatever coffee he's on. I want to be on that shit in the morning, for real. That dude's on another level.
You have Junior, which is Leatherface. You have the other brother. I forgot his name. He's like the fake cook in this movie. And then, of course, you also have Grandpa, who's always there. He never dies, even though he's dead. But
it's okay. You can't have a Texas Chainsaw movie without Grandpa.
That's true.
Truth be told,
I overall like this family. I like that little girl a lot because, like, she seems like she's going to be super evil when she gets older. Yeah, we never see that, but yeah.
Some people actually think, or they feel like it's been hinted that that's Leatherface's daughter.
I've heard that theory too, because like she does have a connection towards him. But she's really good. And the cook, or the fake cook, he's pretty cool too. Yeah.
Talking about Tink? Was it Tink?
Something like that. I forgot like his like Tink, something like that. I forgot the character's name.
So yeah.
And like after watching this one, I'm thinking like, man, we need to do Texas Chainsaw the Next Generation.
That'd be our prom special.
Okay.
Prom night.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah, 2022 will bring the 1 year the 100-year anniversary of Nosferatu. Yeah, that'd be one we're gonna be doing. You know, I've actually looked into it. I've only heard 3 people even bring up the fact that Dr. Caligari was 100 years. It was our podcast, the Cinemassacre podcast, or Cinemassacre website.
Yeah.
He did a review actually on it, but the thing is, you and me had talked about their review. That was like the 3rd episode I hadn't even mentioned to you when we first started the podcast. Period. And we had to wait all the way to that February to do it.
Yeah.
And then Blitzkid.
because like I sometimes I look like I don't even know of a podcast or like people besides like Cinemassacre who did a Caligari anniversary deal besides us. I mean, we just like good horror people.
Hold on. Yeah. There we are. I give that a 4.
All right, Leo, anything you want to say more about this movie, or?
Well, besides the fact that Ryan bitches more than a woman. We already mentioned the Leathermobile.
Yeah.
We already mentioned Fake Chop Top.
Yeah. Alfredo, my boy.
Chop Top 2.0. Let's talk about Benny. You don't like Benny? Benny's the luckiest motherfucker you'll ever meet in your life. He's full of one-liners and played by what's that guy's name again? God damn it. Now I feel like we can't remember these names. I feel like we shouldn't be doing a horror podcast.
Viggo Mortensen. Viggo Mortensen.
No, Ken Foray. Foray. He was in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The guy that plays Benny.
These names, you know, like this movie. Yeah.
He's the only one I actually know by the actual name in the movie. Like, I know Benny because he fought Leatherface twice. He went fist to cuffs with Leatherface. How many people can say, I went fist to cuffs with motherfucking Leatherface and survived?
That's true.
Not once, but twice.
All right, Benny, yeah.
Not even an old boy from Nightmare could say that he died in the sequel.
In Cave?
Yeah, okay. See? He went toe-to-toe with Freddy in the first one. Well, not the first movie, but the third movie. But in the fourth one, he went down faster than Pacquiao did in that third round versus Marquez that one year.
Yeah, like, Benny's cool, you know. It's just like, that was, again, one of my problems with this movie that I forget characters' names. Like, after I just saw the movie, like, 2 hours ago, I forget characters.
Nah, I get it, though. It's the main two characters, it's just the fact that because I've been looking on what the hell the guy's been up to or what he's done, that's how I remember his name's Ryan. And Michelle.
Oh, man, I totally forgot her name. Like,
so, if we do have a useless characters award for this year, oh, man, they're top contenders right now.
Oh, 100%. They are, again, I do like this movie, but, man, they are the worst main characters ever in, like, any horror movie, it seems. You forget their names, and you don't care about them, and...
there's no chemistry for what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what?
It doesn't work.
One of our first episodes ever was that movie, The Graves. That movie was a low-budget film, but I really believe those sisters were sisters in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to say one thing, and it's going to sound pretty bad, I'm going to say it. Benny reminds me of a ghetto cockroach. Because motherfucker will not die. Because if you lived in the ghetto, you lived in Second Ward, Third Ward, I lived in Ridgemont, you try to kill one of those roaches, them motherfuckers ain't going down without a fight. You hit them with the raid, them fools will just, they're suicidal at that point. Don't die on me, Joey. Don't die.
Oh, he's coughing.
So, with that being said, he fights Leatherface the first time. Oh, by the way, we haven't even mentioned the one innocent person who got killed because she listened to Benny.
Oh, yeah.
See how useless the characters are in this movie? We're just forgetting about random shit. And also, that includes the kills of this movie, because the kills aren't even that great in this film.
Because I think I mentioned it earlier that, yeah, the kills in this movie do not stand out. Even now, as me talking about it, I don't remember a kill per se. Like, I kind of remember some, but like the first film, you like remember some kills, but yeah, this one.
I remember all the kills from the first movie. Those are memorable. Even they don't show much gore and the blood. Those are still good.
This one's kind of like, it's almost, this is the movie that is a problem with like 90s slashers. It was generic. It was nothing original. The kills were forgettable. The casting was pretty bad, and the overall story was kind of weak, you know.
Well, what bothered me on this one is because the plot, I can understand if, like, part one, like, the strangers, it's really just two people. So you don't really have that much of a high kill count, you know.
But yeah, but that is great.
The first one had, now we're talking about, like, the kill count point of view. The strangers, the movie was good. It was good. But what I'm talking about now are like the kill counts. Like the first one had a group of kids. The second one, they went around killing people. This one, you only really have two victims. And then the rest of the dead people in this movie is just the Sawyer family. See what I mean? It's like, to me, like, that feels more like a part one and not the sequel, because usually the sequels try to ante up like the victim count. This is what sucks about fucking doing a podcast and drinking sometimes. And then your partner has to go pee. But even though I had to pee, so I'll blame myself for this one and protect my sweet baby Joey. Because I love her. I love my baby Joey. Joey. Love
you. I had to pee.
I was taking the blame for it, fool.
I know. All
right. Well, let me just go ahead and say this. I think that's what I was already mentioning before. Oh, due to wind. Toe to toe. That's the last thing I remember talking about. Old dude went toe to toe with Leatherface twice. And the director killed him off. The ending of this film has Leatherface going down like Michael Myers, but in a weaker way. This is, if you remember, Curse of Michael Myers, Ant-Man whipped his ass with a pipe, but injected him with acid first and then beat his ass with a pipe. Yeah. But in this movie, Leatherface goes down, rocked head into swamp. But before that, he killed Benny.
Yeah.
Even though Benny had massacred the entire Sawyer family. Oh, damn, he did fuck up the whole Sawyer. He is the one who killed the entire Sawyer family.
Like, I don't mind that Benny was killed, but it's always kind of like there is very few slashers kills, I guess you say, that satisfy me. The way that Leatherface dies in this one, or quote unquote dies in this one, kind of it's okay. But that's just my thing with like any slasher movie. You're basically trying to kill something that's impossible to kill and try to kill them off.
Well, I don't know, man. Leatherface was walking around with with one leg the whole movie. A whole movie here. Squeaky, 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 squeaky. Boy needs some DW. So W, what's it, DW-40?
WD-4.
Leatherface needed that shit because I can hear him from a mile away.
Yep.
And no, but
his fourth film, you have another person. He's the WD-40.
No, that fool needs to fucking. He just needs to shove his leg into a goddamn grease bucket. But yeah, when old boy goes down for the count, like, dude, he literally like he took a chainsaw out of the head. Of course, it's kind of like off screen, but it's. I mean. If I'm killing somebody and the chainsaw's coming, because the chainsaw, for some reason, in the water never turned off and was doing like a back and forth rotation type of situation. And it comes back and Leatherface puts his head on there. I would think that you would need the, was it the, what do they call it in a screen? When you make sure the killer's dead. You got to double tap.
Yeah, double tap.
You always got to double tap. But I mean, when someone takes a chainsaw to the head, I don't think you need a double tap unless he's unnatural. Yeah. Right or wrong. And who the hell ever heard of double tapping a side character?
I mean, at this time, I'll say double tap anybody.
Thank you. Cops show up to the crime scene. He tried to kill me. Why does he have 20 bullets in him? I double tap. 20 bullets? The gun doesn't even hold that many bullets. I did what I had to. If I got him the first time, he didn't suffer the rest of those bullets. That's fucked up. But fuck it. So the thing that pisses me off, and this is what really, really pisses me off. The dude dies in the water. Fucking Leatherface goes down like a bitch, gets hit upside the head with a rock pretty much, and goes, sinks into the swamp. Then we see old boy Chop Top version 2.0.
Alfredo. My boy.
Chop Top version 2.0. That's what he's going to be known, and that's what he's going to be known as. Before he even shows up, like, old girl's walking through the desert, and then old boy Benny pops up in the truck. I'm like, bro, you got your head. Your head became, you know, a nice little deli cut. How the hell? And he comes back with a burly little scratch on his head. It's like, nah, bro. That shit is not. This is what happened. When they did the test viewing for the crowd, people in New York loved the character Benny so much that the studio decided, we're going to keep this guy. We're going to keep him alive. We're going to. So instead of even showing how he survived anything, they didn't even bother. They didn't even bother to tell Burr, we're going to reshoot that whole ending. Oh. Burr did not find out till the day of the screening of the movie. He found out that the entire ending was completely changed. Dude, that's the biggest fuck you ever right there.
That's too bad, yeah.
So, in technicality, Burr should be dead. Burr should be dead. Benny should be dead. They brought Benny back in a reshoot that Burr had nothing to do with. So that entire ending scene with the whole desert and the truck and everything, it is a legit... There's... I want to see the actual ending to this one. We need a bird cut. We need a bird cut.
This is true. Thank you.
Okay. So with that being said, I'll give my rating.
Okay.
I give it a 6.5. It would be lower if it wasn't for all this trivia I found out on how the fuck this movie, honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, it makes me wanna, I feel like if I ever have shit in front of me, I feel like I could pull it off. Why? Because somehow this movie was finished and the director didn't give up on it.
So this is going back to our older ways. Going into this movie, yesterday, or like 5 hours ago, I would have given this movie a 7.5 or so. But after watching it again and talking about it now, I do have to go with a 6.5 or a 6. Just the casting's weak. The story's not all there. Jeff Burr, again, I think that's a good directing, but all the production issues.
Honestly, I blame the failure of this movie on New Line Cinema and the story for that one. It's all New Line Cinema's fault.
Oh, you know what's something I just realized right now? We've done back-to-back New Line Cinema films.
Oh, shit. Too bad our next one's Miramax.
Sorry, Mr. Leo, where can people find you at on the social medias?
Well, I do recommend There's Someone Inside Your House on Netflix. By the way,
we did not. I was about to skip recommendations, so scrap that recommendations, as Leo said.
Well, like I also said, I recommend There's Someone Inside Your House. It's a Netflix original movie that just came out. It follows kind of that Scream idea about, you know, a killer knows something about your past, but in this movie, the killer knows something about everybody's past, knows everyone's deep secrets, and he uses that against him. And what he does is he kills you wearing your mask, your face. And that when he murders you, your secret is revealed for everyone in the town to realize what you did wrong or how you did it wrong. So this actually throws like a lot of, it's kind of cool to see like friends turn on each other because only you knew this secret. Oh no, you knew this secret, but I didn't know the secret, but he knew that secret. It's kind of cool to see that transpire. So it's, I like it kind of has like a teenage drama style to it, but I like that whole mystery behind who did what and what is going on situation. And the kills are actually fun in this film.
Yeah.
Even like if you've seen them in Scream, yeah, it's cool. But some of these kills are actually a pay grade above. And they're actually like more creative than Scream. That's the pay, that's the money maker right there for this film.
As for me, for my recommendation, I will stick with again, you know, this month I'm trying to do like movies that are connected. So I'll go with another Jeff Burr movie, and that is Puppet Master 4. Puppet Master 4, you really don't have to see the previous movies to understand it. This movie is different than the rest of the Puppet Master films because the puppets are kind of good. You know? And Jeff Burr also did Part 5, and if you're trying to do like a chronological order for it, 4 and 5 might be the last two movies in the overall storyline.
Okay.
Because, yeah. Puppet Master films are all over the place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we did the one Puppet Master film. And
Alan
tried to explain the whole thing to me. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very storyline. Like each movie goes to a different time, but yeah. All right, now, Leo, where can people find you on the social media?
You can find me at xxleor2. Oh wait, you can find me at xxleoxr2d2xx only Instagram.
And as for me, you can find me on the Instagrams at Nimrod Horror. And for the entire podcast group, you can find us at Nimrod Horror Podcast. One word on the Instagram, Facebook, and don't forget to like, subscribe, comment on our YouTube page. Until next week, we are doing Friday the 13th, part 3, I'm pretty sure. So until then, I'm Joey. It's Leo.
Wait a minute, right at the 13th.
Oh, no. Next one's actually Hellraiser 3.
Cut the episode. That's the joke.
All right, y'all. Bye.